This is MSO News Sports. I'm Bill Newell, and we're joined by Paul Guansey, the City Council President, City of Beverly, and now in his ninth term. He's been on the City Council for some 16 years. And Paul, first of all, welcome. Great to be talking with you.
Oh, it's great to always good to talk about what's going on here in Beverly.
All right. So, what's happening in Beverly? What's up for the council this year, this coming year? I know you had your first council meeting this past Tuesday for 2018.
Right. It's fun. We have two new city councilors with us. We have one gentleman, Tim Flaherty, who is a former city council president, and he took a lot of time off, and he decided he wanted to get back into city government, and he was fortunate enough to be reelected. And we also have a woman, Julie Flowers, who is the minister at the First Baptist Church here in Beverly. She ran a great campaign, and she actually finished second in the at-large race. It's nice to have some turnover and some fresh faces to give you some perspective as you move on, because there's a lot of people on the city council like myself that have been there for quite some time. But we do have a lot going on, and most of it good here in the city. We just had a major road project finished, the Route 1A project, which took 2 years, started at the Beverly-Salem Bridge and went all the way up to our new middle school. The city had to pay for the design, which was 25%, and then the rest of it was paid for by the state. So they administered and did the project. Caused a lot of turmoil with local businesses.
Yeah.
But now that if you go up and down Route 1A, the traffic lights are beautiful. We have some new development, new sidewalks, new lighting. It really brings Rantoul Street, a street that had kind of fallen by the wayside over the years, back to life.
No, definitely. That was... I used to joke about how you drive through Beverly and road closed. It was the signs you'd see on all the side streets or whatever, because there's been projects there for years. But yet, as you note, Rantoul Street just looks far better than it has.
Oh, it does. Rantoul Street's always been thought of as Cabot Street's poorer sister. You had all your retail, you had all your restaurants on Cabot Street, and then on Rantoul Street, it was more manufacturing and you know, some type of housing, but it's really come alive. And Wendover Development has spent an awful lot of money in Beverly assisting the city, trying to create transit-orientated development, putting good quality housing around the train station. And they have three or four buildings that are almost a couple of finished, and they're starting two more that address that need.
I know that's huge in cities today, you know, cities out of Boston, that to be right near a train station. Beverly has train stations, plural, so that's got to be actually a drawing card, I think, for Beverly, for at least for housing.
Well, yeah, it definitely is. I mean, we always say we have five train stations, and we also have an airport. So, but, I mean, I think it's convenient for people to rather pay rents here in Beverly than rents in Boston. I'm sure they're twice what they are in Beverly and Boston. And plus, it gets you away from your job. I mean, Beverly is really that city that feels like a town, and there's so much to do here in Beverly. So that's why, and it started with the former mayor Bill Scanlon, about pushing that transit-orientated development. And we had the governor here last year at one point, and he was very impressed at what we're doing here.
What are the things that are ahead on the council? I know new police station. The mayor addressed that in his inaugural address earlier in the month here in Beverly. But so there's a new police station, on paper, so to speak. But maybe give us an update on that. And what other initiatives would the council be dealing with this year?
Well, everything takes time. We've needed a new police station here in Beverly for probably close to 4 or 5 decades. But back in the 1990s, our schools were in disrepair, and it was decided we were going to take care of our schools first. When I got on the council back in 2000, we had just completed our first elementary school, redoing it. And then we redid four more. And then we addressed the high school. And then we're on our final school building project right now is the Beverly Middle School. It's a $110 million project. We're getting over 50% state funding, which was the case with all of our schools. So we had to take advantage of that. And it was always said that once the schools were addressed, we were going to address our public safety facilities. And this year, the middle school will open, and we'll move on to the police station. So we've approved $1 million for a design, and there have been designs in the past that hopefully that we can learn from. We have a spot where we need to put it, and hopefully in 2 years or maybe the end of 2019, we can have a shovel in the ground.
Yeah. So that all this takes time. The other thing is, I know within your first council meeting, you had a number of public hearings and so on. Tell me about that and what happened that night on the first night with all the public hearings.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's an important part of what we do is the city council serves as the watchdog to the mayor and watches where he needs to spend money. So last year we certified free cash, and that's money that's left over that hasn't been spent throughout the year. We certify it, and what we like to do is we put aside a big chunk of it into the city savings account. We call it the stabilization fund. So if something tanks or we don't get state aid or we notice that our debt service is growing, we can tap into that stabilization account. So the mayor wanted to do that. He also wanted to put away some money for what's called an other post-retirement benefits, employment benefits. So it's the abbreviation is OPEB. And the city has a $210 million liability for OPEB. So you have to, obviously, people that work for the city in various departments, they're entitled to those retirement benefits, and the city has to pay for them somehow. So now we're stepping it off finally to save for those. Yeah. That was one, two. We're going to do a little work on our parks and playgrounds.
Yeah.
As things happen and things get more expensive, they kind of fall by the wayside, and not enough money is given to them every year. So the mayor's committed $175,000 to that. And he came before the council, pled his case, and, you know, we approved that spending.
I know one other thing the mayor actually mentioned in his inaugural address, and it almost seemed like he might have been ad-libbing off of this piece, but what happens with the current Briscoe Middle School now, which is a huge old building, but it's obviously city-owned, and I don't know that, but I imagine there's a big piece of land involved with that property as well. But that's the fate of that is definitely something that's not known at this point, correct?
Right. It's not known. I know that the mayor commenced a study last year and put a committee together that took a look at all our city-owned buildings, and that was City Hall, it was the police station, and it was Briscoe, as to what are we going to do next. There was talk about moving City Hall, the Department of Public Works, and the police station all to Briscoe. But to retrofit that building, it would have been a lot of money. So now that committee came up with the recommendation that we should sell Briscoe. But now, to sell it to who? There are a lot of people that, while we embrace the new housing in Beverly, maybe it's too much. Can our schools and our infrastructure deal with it? So we'll see. When the city puts out a request for proposal for somebody to buy that building, I think that we're going to have a caveat that if it's going to be housing, maybe it needs to be senior housing. Because good quality senior housing is something we lack here in Beverly.
Yeah.
There are people that are getting to that point, that retirement age, that don't need their big houses anymore, but stay in them because that's their cheapest option. They paid their mortgage. Now they're just living there paying their property taxes. But at times, maybe because of the size of the house or it's more than one level, they can't maintain that. But there's not really a real quality community that they can go to. Maybe Briscoe turns into that. I mean, I would love to see it marketed to somebody. Maybe they're a tenant at Cummings. Maybe they're a tenant up at Cherry Hill and come in and make that headquarters for a business.
Yeah, all of that, and because housing itself puts a strain on schools, which is okay, you know. But on the other hand, you do have to be careful, I suppose, about adding too much, and taxing the schools and the school population, while you could just as well be putting a business in there.
Right, in a building like that, and they would say it because all this transit oriented development that we're doing down by the train station. They say that you're looking at only one student per 30 units, whereas, you know, and if you build, 20 houses in a neighborhood, say in Centerville, where it's all residential, you'll get a couple kids per household. So that would give you, two per household. So that would give you 40 students. And,
yeah.
and 20 units. So, I mean, it's a delicate balance that we have to come up with. Do we want to maintain the quality of life here in Beverly and stay anywhere between, you know, 40 and 42,000 people? Or do we really want to blow the roof off of it and turn into a, and I don't say this in a bad way, you know, a Peabody, a Salem, or a Lynn, and end up with 50,000 plus people here? And I don't think the city can handle that.
Yeah. We're talking with Paul Guansi, City Council President, City of Beverly. Paul, this sounds like an elementary question, but it's worthwhile, I think, with the new charter in Beverly back in the 90s. What's the role of the City Council in Beverly? Maybe you can share with us as you see the role of the council.
Well, years ago, back before the charter changed in 97 or 98, it was a very, very strong board of aldermen that really ran the city. And we had a weak mayor. The mayor couldn't do anything without the approval of the board of aldermen. It was thought by the people that wrote the charter, and actually Tim Flaherty, who is one of our new city councils, was actually on that committee that wrote the charter. He was a kid back then. Thought that whereas the mayor was the full-time executive of the city, the power should lie with him. So now the charter was passed. It was voted on. I think it was 70-30 that the voters in Beverly voted for the new charter. Gave us a strong mayoral form of government and a weak city council. But the council still has a role. The mayor can't spend a dime without coming before us. We have to approve all of his appointments to boards and commissions, all of his department heads. And the city is really the legislative, the city council is the legislative branch of the government. So we're in charge of all the ordinances, the laws that the city has is run by.
When you get calls from residents, what are the calls about? What kind of calls do you get?
You know, they're really simple. Well, you know, people will call you and say, well, I'm concerned about the development on Rantoul Street. I'm concerned about that there's nothing on the waterfront. Really, the general concerns are of people in Beverly are, is my trash getting picked up? Is my recycling getting picked up? How come my leaves didn't get picked up? This is my recycling week. Can I get a stop sign at the end of my street? My street didn't get plowed. They're real simple things. They're real simple things, but they're quality of life issues for people. That's really, and that's what makes the job fun, because you can get a phone call from somebody, take care of the problem, make a phone call, and have something done, or point them in the right direction to take care of their problem. I mean, that's a satisfying feeling. It's still, I mean, here on whether you're Democrat, Republican, unenrolled, it's really nonpartisan here, where it's all about public service at this level. And that's what keeps me going.
Yeah. Hey, I know a story that was in the Salem News this week was the Beverly Waterfront. You just kind of touched on that. That's that piece of land down where the old McDonald's used to be. Yeah, so, and I guess a lot of folks, maybe not from Beverly, might be listening to this, say, okay, I know that piece of land right after the Beverly-Salem Bridge. There was the McDonald's years ago. It's not there anymore. I mean, the building is there. But what's the deal with that? What's the situation there?
Well, it's a funny piece of property because the city used state money from the Seaport Advisory Council or something in Boston to buy that piece of property after the McDonald's closed. I don't know the history why McDonald's closed, because when's the last time you saw a McDonald's close? But so anything that goes on that piece of property, public access has to be the number one thing that takes place there. We've had a couple people come in and look at it and want to open up a restaurant there, which I think that would be wonderful, because here we are, a seaside community, and there's not anywhere in the city where you can sit outside and have a drink or a meal and see the ocean. Whereas you can do it in Salem everywhere, and even in Lynn, there's a beautiful restaurant on the harbor in Lynn, or is that in Swampscott? Used to be the Red Rock.
No, you're right. No, there's one in Swampscott, and basically the porthole in Lynn is on the water, too.
And it's, I don't want to say it's an embarrassment, because we've never had that, but it's time. And the thing is, the waterfront is another one of those things that it's not going to happen tomorrow, but at least we're one step closer. I remember when I first ran it for office in 1999, that was one of my bullet points, an improved waterfront. I mean, I feel like a failure that nothing's ever been done. But it's been a constant struggle between the city and the property owners in the area trying to get on the same page. And it seems like we're to that point right now. It was all about the city wanting public access through their property. It's a working boatyard. Public access would never make sense there. So we've finally come to an agreement where it's not necessary. And they seem to be embracing the fact that we want somebody to come in and build a restaurant on that site. But it's definitely without with some challenges, because you have to include that public access piece. So we're looking for somebody to come and build a two-story building, restaurant on the top floor, and then some kind of public space on the first floor.
And when you say waterfront access, do you mean some place where somebody can put a boat in? Is that
just
a walkway? Yeah, okay.
I mean, there's a big, you hate to say it's a fantasy or a dream, where we want to link up a walkway from the city-owned property all the way around the neighborhood of Goat Hill, and then down all along the way to the Bass River. Will it ever happen? I don't know, but it's a nice thought.
For that piece of property, though, that for a waterfront restaurant, that is actually a great view from that spot. I mean, you know, during at any time of year, it's a nice spot, actually.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great spot. I mean, we had the pizza restaurant Flatbread come in, and they wanted to build there, but they didn't comply with the public access part of it. Which we have to do, because we borrowed the money from the Seaport Advisory Council, and that's what was one of the caveats. Whatever you do there, the public needs to be involved and be able to get there. Yeah. And it's not a given that once you put a restaurant there that it's going to make it. The city wants to sign a long-term lease with whoever wants to do it, but they're going to be responsible for building the building and paying the real estate taxes on it. And, I mean, I don't know if people in the restaurant industry, it's competitive and expensive to get things going.
Yeah. Do you think a sub shop might work it down there on the water, Paul?
No, thank you. But if anybody's listening and would like to take a shot and buy this one, sure, why not? But it's, you want to find dining where somebody can go down there and sit on a deck, like you go to Newburyport to the Black Cow. And we had Joe Leone, the owner of the Black Cow, really ready to go and build a Black Cow here on the waterfront. Yeah. But the neighbors, the people that own Port Marine, were in a shoving match with the city, and those plans fell through.
All right, so there's still nothing there really right now. There's no there right now, but yet it is there for something to happen.
Right, and the mayor's office said very soon he's going to put another request for proposal, and he has been talking with restaurant groups in Boston about coming here, taking a look at the site, and giving it a go.
Yeah. Gotcha. All right. Councilor Guanci, anything else you want to talk about? Anything else I haven't asked you about that you think you should share with us about Beverly City Council?
No, I mean, what works here in Beverly is that the Beverly City Council really has always had a good working relationship with the mayor's office. And we always say that our local newspaper, the Salem Evening News, has always praised that, to be able to get things done. Whereas sometimes things get a little heated in Peabody and Salem, we usually work out our differences behind the scenes. So when we get out there, the proposals that the mayor puts before us are a joint collaboration between the mayor's office and the city council. And it really makes for a nice working environment, definitely a less stressful one. I always tell people, if you got questions, you can call the mayor's office, but reach out to your city councilors. That's what we're here for. And that's why we do it, because it's that one-on-one people connection.
Well, Paul, thanks so much for your time, and best of luck here in 2018.
Thank you. Looking forward to it. It's a great place to live.
Paul Guanci, the council president, City of Beverly, with us here on MSO News Sports.